we are slowly winding down, or going to build up to a wind down, as we talk about disciples, about being and making disciples. And we started with, as a disciple, all of a sudden, God gets a hold of our heart, doesn't he? I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when all of a sudden God grabs my heart and says, Steve, now's the time. We're going to change. We're going to do something. And God gets us, and he begins to cause our hearts to be submitted to him. And then as we grow, we begin to realize that the Word of God, this Bible right here, has got all kinds of great, not just information, but it's the way of life. It is the way of life. And we begin to have our minds formed and biblically formed by God. And then he begins to change our choices, and we become sacrificially generous and morally discerning and relationally healthy. And then I think one of the things that he does is he begins to change our passions and our compassion. Do you know that that's what God wants to do? He wants us to be changed into his image. And we serve a God who's a very compassionate God. He's a very holy God. He's a very awesome God. But he is a God of compassion. And so today we are going to start to talk about changing our compassions. And we're going to look at being intentionally blessing today. And from the very beginning, this has been God's heart. This has been God's heart that we are... There it is. Okay. It's not on that one, so I just wondered what happened. Today we're looking at this idea of being a blessing all the time. And we know that from the very beginning that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, didn't he? It says that he had a relationship. It says that he walked daily. And he wants to do that with you and me, too, every day. And so, as Christ followers, we want to have our hearts and minds to be more like Jesus. Can you say yes? Okay. We want our hearts and our minds to be more like Jesus. Because he did not rescue us out of all the stuff that we were in to just let us sit on a shelf. Did you know that? God doesn't have trophies. You know, I learned a long time ago, and I had lots of trophies. Really, Qualls? Bible quizzing trophies, okay? I wasn't a fast runner. I could get to the end, but I wasn't fast. But God doesn't have trophies. I found that trophies collect a lot of dust. Did you know that? Knickknacks and things like that, they collect a lot of dust. God doesn't want us sitting on a shelf just to get dusty. He is changing us to be used. He is changing us so that we can help others. He took away the penalty of my sin so that I could share that with other people. And so, from the very beginning of time, God has intended intimate relationship with his creation. And as we look today, we need to allow God to break our hearts with the same thing that breaks his heart. Have you ever been somewhere, or have you ever seen something, and all of a sudden you just break down and begin to cry? Sometimes in yourself, sometimes just out. I've had a couple of those this week where I saw a situation, or I was aware of a situation, and I just began to weep in my spirit and occasionally out loud. Because we need to allow God to break our hearts. And so, I'm going to start, we're going to build a base here to show the compassion of God and why it is so important for us to be his image bearers. We're going to look at Genesis 1:26, and it says, God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us, and they will reign over the fish in the sea and over the cows so you can have steak, and over the vegetables and over the fruit trees. God made all this stuff for us to enjoy. Did you know that? And he says that you're going to reign. Because, see, we're going to, that word image there literally translates into the word idol. Oh, Steve, idols are not good things. Well, when we are made in the image of God, they are. And it's translated idol, and it depicts a physical representation of a greater reality. Think about that. That little wood thing that they used to serve was supposed to be a representation of something really awesome. You know what? We are a physical. When we are made in the image of God, and when we are doing what God has called us to do, listen to me, I'm not saying we're gods. I am saying that we are a smaller representation of who God is. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to the earth so that we could be like him. He could not do everything, could he? He created his disciples to take off what he started. God designed mankind to be a physical, tangible, visible representation of him who is the greater invisible reality. He's greater. This has been God's heart. And even after sin entered the world, even after the original creation sinned, he was compassionate, not wanting any to perish. Psalms 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to everyone." Can you say that? The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Yeah, he does. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible, you guys. Okay? He cares. He's a compassionate God. He set a plan into being that would rescue the created to bring man back into relationship with God. If we look a little further, as the guys and gals got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and as they began to multiply, and then they got so bad that God had to destroy the world. How did he do that? Flood, right? And as man began to repopulate the earth, what when they were all working together, what all of a sudden did they think they could do? They could build something up to heavens, right? And be like God. We have this God complex. I don't know if you figured it out or not, but there is something in each of us that we want to be bigger, we want to be better. But we only become that truly as we surrender to the Heavenly Father. And he divided the world into nations. And then out of that, it says that he scattered them, right? He said, if we don't intercede, man is going to be able to do just about anything they want. It's kind of incredible if you look at the scripture. And he says, we're going to scatter them and we're going to make sure that they don't understand each other. That's kind of like man and wife, right? We don't always understand each other. But he creates this. And in the midst of this, what does he do? He begins to make nations. And then he begins to set a nation aside. What does he do? He calls Abram. We know him as Abraham. And this is what he says. And the Lord said to Abram, I want you to leave your native country, your relatives, your families, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. How cool is that? Because God is setting aside a nation, a people, somebody in his image. God's always wanted a people made in his image to be in relationship with. And we know that eventually, the 12 tribes kind of rebelled and they kind of went their own way. But God always has a way of pulling us back. And so there came a great drought on the whole land. And God pulls his kids, Israel, he pulls his kids together and puts them in Egypt. And for a season, well, for about 400 years, they really prosper. Because God is setting up a nation to be an example of who he is. And then he releases them from Egypt, and he brings them into the wilderness, and he says, I'm going to make you great. And they go to enter the promised land, and what happens? They don't. They can't get in. Why? Unbelief. And so God begins to set aside people, and almost everybody dies who didn't want to go into the land. And they travel around for 40 years. Now, was God with them that 40 years? Yeah, he was. Because he was going to save a nation. He was going to make a remnant of people that were like him, that he could use as an example of how great God is and how great God was. And so they come up after their 40 years of wandering, and they're waiting to come into the promised land, and they send out spies to Jericho. And I think this is so cool, this next couple of verses, because other nations saw and recognized that the one true God was working through the children of Israel. Okay? And this is what Rahab the prostitute said in Joshua 2, 8 through 11. He says, I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them, and we are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. So for 40 years, they have been watching this group of people and watching what God does for them. And he says, and we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, right as they were getting ready to come into the Promised Land, whose people you completely destroyed. And she says, no wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. See, the nation of Israel in many ways was a physical, tangible representation of the greater reality of who God was. See, we are made in the image of God. He wants us to be his hands and feet. And Jesus, speaking on that little hillside, says this to all of his probably mostly Jewish listeners, but we don't know. There were probably some from around. And he says to them, he says, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Any of you guys, when you turn the lights on, you put a lid over them? No. And he says, where it gives light to everyone in the house, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. In his redemption plan, through Jesus, the church was born to bring the good news of who God was. I know that I'm going down a trail here, but from the beginning of time, it has been God's plan to show people who he really is. And regardless of sin in this world, he always made a way for people to come to him and to begin to be him, to begin to be his hands and feet. And then Jesus said this in Acts 1:8. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my, what's it say? Witnesses. Say that, witnesses. Okay? Witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What's a witness? This is what I think is kind of cool. What is a witness? We just read about this a few minutes ago when Jesus said about the light. The word means to shed light on something so others can understand it. We're called to be light. We're called to shed light. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to shed light on who Jesus is, what he's done for us. As his witness, we shed light on all that of who, everything that he is, what he's done for us, how he's helped us, how he's saved us, how he's redeemed us, how he's renewed us. See, God is using his church to be lights in the world, to show the world what he is like, and to be living visible, tangible explanations of who he is, the greater, invisible, intangible God. Guys, we aren't just people. We are children of the Most High God. He has set us up for success, not failure. He wants us to be his hands and his feet. And we're looking at compassion today. And he says to the church, be my lights. Let me ask you, who's the church? Is this building the church? No. Who's the church? You guys are. You guys are the church of Jesus. Anybody who's a Christ follower is part of the church. And the more I surrender to him, the more compassion I have. He says that we are the light in the world. So it doesn't matter wherever we go, wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we play, wherever we see a need, we need to respond the way Jesus would respond. That's why Jesus, putting the Holy Spirit into us, is changing us to be like him. Jesus was very intentional and deliberate about being a blessing to others with no strings attached. Now, you may have heard of The Chosen. You may have watched it. You may like it. You may love it. You may hate it. But what always amazes me about it is the compassion that Jesus has. It shows how compassionate he was. In Matthew 25, Jesus says this when he's talking about his kids, his family. And he says, then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. It's hard to read this passage without realizing how compassionate God is. He cares. He cares. He cares if they're thirsty. He cares if they don't have clothing. He cares if they're hungry. And as Christ followers, we need to do that too, including the least of them, because Jesus was so very intentional. Peter and Paul also talked about being a blessing to others intentionally. And they said that it was a mark of the maturing Christian life. In fact, in Galatians 4:15, Paul says this. He says, you guys have been so compassionate that if I needed it, you would pluck out your eyes and give them to me. Now that's, you know, read it. That's why I gave you the Galatians 4:15. I saw that and I thought, wow, that's compassion. I got one kind of good eye and one kind of bad eye. And I'm not sure I want to give them up, but they were compassionate. It mattered to them. And then they said this. They said in Peter also, he said this, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind." How many of you think that we could be of one mind in here on anything? It might be kind of hard, right, to be of one mind. But he says, be of one mind. Sympathize. In other words, be compassionate with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil, and don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. Isn't that pretty cool? We get a blessing when we bless others. We receive God's blessings when we act like Jesus to those around us. Romans 12:14 and 1 Corinthians 4:11 through 12 talks about blessing those who persecute you. Does that ever sound like anything Jesus said? Where did he say that? That was up on that mountainside, wasn't it? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? Compassion. It says compassion, right? Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. See, God is working in our life to help our compassion grow so that we would increasingly be an intentional blessing to others. How many of you want to be a blessing to others? I do. I want to be a blessing to other people. I want to be able to help. You know, sometimes you don't know people need help. Sometimes I've responded when I felt that nudge from God to, you know, buy coffee for the person behind me. I think, well, they're already in line, God. Why do they need me to buy their coffee? He goes, buy their coffee. I don't know. Maybe they needed to know that somebody cared, that it mattered. I don't know. Carol and I were out to dinner one night, and We're going up, and we had invited a couple out for dinner. And this couple was younger, and so young people never have money, so we were buying them dinner. And there was another little gal with two young daughters, and she was there with them by herself. And the Lord said, buy theirs too. I said, well, God, they're already in the house. They've already eaten, so obviously they got money to buy their dinner. I am not bragging about what I'm doing. I'm just saying that when God tells you to do something, be compassionate. Just be compassionate. Somebody's alongside the road and asking for money. Very seldom do I give money, but usually when God taps me on the shoulder, I've got a thing full of water or juice or a sandwich or something, I give it. Because we never know when God is going to say, show people my love. So what are some ways that we can show compassion? What does it look like? Be an active listener. You know, I've come a long ways in this, but sometimes I can be listening and then I think, oh, I've got something to say. No, be an active listener. Listen. Listen to what's going on. How else can we show compassion? Practice acts of kindness. Just start practicing. Be kind. Respect boundaries. I had to think about that one for a little bit. But, you know, sometimes being compassionate is not getting all up in their business. It's just doing what God told you to do. Forgive and show mercy. In Maybe a friend has wronged you. Maybe a worker has wronged you. Forgive and show mercy. Talk kindly and advocate on their behalf. Do you know what? We don't do kindly very much in this nation anymore. Have you guys figured that out? We just don't do kindly. Offer guidance and lend a helping hand. I've found that this comes at the most inopportune time. And then offer hope. We have a God who cares. And because our God cares, we care. Offer them that hope. Offer them that hope that they need. Now, where might there be places that we could do some of this stuff and be a light and show them Jesus and be compassionate? How about right where you live, in your own home, to your own siblings? Oh, got the head to jerk around that time, didn't I? Or your wife, or your husband, or your mother-in-law, or your mother, or your daughter. It's great when we start right where we live. In our neighborhood, with our neighbors. My wife and I, and especially my wife, have chosen to show compassion to some neighbors of ours that have chickens. Do you know that chickens don't like to stay in their own yard? And that for some reason they think your garden is the garden that they should eat in and scratch in and eat all the seeds that you just planted last week? We chose compassion with our neighbors, not to make a big deal out of it. We love them. We want to see them come to the kingdom of heaven. We want to see them come to Jesus. Me being nice to their chickens, I think, can produce that. How about in your dorm room? You're going to be experiencing that here shortly. Have mercy. Be kind, compassionate. And I know you will. I know you. You can't help it. How about where we go to work or where we go to school? Lots of opportunities. I am so amazed how compassionate Bronwyn is with the kids that come to her attendance window. I've been in there a couple of times and you know, well, do you need something to eat? Well, do you need something to drink? She's just kind and compassionate. Are you? How about where we play? Sometimes it's hard to be compassionate when you're playing. Maybe the table is all spread out and you've got your Star Wars guys and you know you're just going to take them out and the guy takes you all out. Can you be compassionate at that time? For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. It's a game, okay? It's a game. Be compassionate where we play. How about this? Where we see a need. Can I get an amen? If you see a need, be kind. Especially if God is asking you to fulfill that need. He doesn't always. I go by a lot of guys that are asking for money on the edge of the highway. But when I hear God tapping on my shoulder, I've given money. Let God guide you and lead you in those times. You can't help everybody, okay? Don't try. You can't help everybody. But we need to begin to hear God's voice. We need to begin to listen to the Holy Spirit when He nudges us. We need to begin to be more compassionate. People don't see compassion, but they should see it from us. So, look for ways to be an intentional blessing. See what you can do to help out. I know schools are always looking for helpers. Volunteer if it's your kid's school. Volunteer. Volunteer if it's not your kid's school. Shirley helps out at our local food bank. You know why? Because she's compassionate. She cares. She has things that hurt, and yet she still goes to work. I said, "Why are you still working there?" "Oh, Steve, if you could see the people I see." You know what? Because she's compassionate. She has a heart. I've seen others of you that you're compassionate. You're compassionate towards young people or children or old men. We've been shown compassion. See what you can do to help out. If you see a need, fill a need. To me, that's the easiest one to do. You know how many needs that we walk by every day? I think as Christ followers, we need to begin to say, okay, God. And this is one thing that Carol and I have started to pray every morning is, okay, God, whatever you put in front of me today, let me see what it is and let me do it. Guess what? He does. And it's okay. This last week was a great week. I got to get together with lots of people this last week, and I love sitting down and hearing your stories and finding out who you are and just spending time with you. It's one of the things I love to do as a pastor. I love to hear some of your stories, some of the things that have happened, and some of the things that God has done through you. You know how cool it is when we can begin to tell how we've been like Jesus. And we aren't bragging on ourselves. We're bragging on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we wouldn't do it if it was us. See a need, fill a need. Maybe you got tools this neighbor needs. Let him borrow your tools. Give him your tools. I had a tool, and I'm kind of in this mode where, you know, I don't really want any more stuff, and so I looked at something the other day and I went, you know, I think Carol wants to have the 2-year rule or the 6-month rule. I'm more like 5 years. I haven't used this in 5 years. I'm going to get rid of it. So I go to the neighbor and I say, hey, would you have an, I was going to probably go buy that. Maybe you got an appliance. Maybe you get something new and yours is still workable. Give it to somebody. Give it away. Help somebody out. Take it to their house. Put it in. Be kind. Be compassionate. Maybe you need to water somebody's plants. Maybe you need to mow their lawn. Maybe you need to vacuum for them. I don't know, but God is a creative God, and we can be compassionate in a lot of ways. Maybe there's a teacher with too many kids in their class, and they'll let somebody come in and help. Some places won't, but some places might after they check you out. See a need, fill a need. How about this? Share notes with a classmate, you guys. Take the test for them. Just seeing if you're listening. You can't take the test for them. That's not okay. And they can't take it for you either. But share notes. Encourage them. Study with them. There's all kinds of ways to be compassionate. And we can do it from the youngest to the oldest. And if we as adults are exhibiting this, guess what? The kids pick up on it. In fact, kids are really compassionate all by themselves. They're willing to share a lot of things. I don't think I want to share that, but thank you. Want a bite? No? Yeah, that was good. But share. Give to a need or a special situation. I'm going to tell you that we have a need, we have a special situation in our church right now. And that's with somebody that's related to Shelley. If you can help out, someone is in a situation where they're going to not be working, and the main breadwinner is not working for quite a while, and they could use some help. $5 helps you guys. $10 helps. Go online. It's on our website, and it's in there. You can just give. But if you see a need or a special situation, ask God, what can I do? What is it that I can do? Maybe somebody's gotten robbed or their home got flooded or, you know, these are extreme situations, but you know what? Don't go, oh. Go over and help or encourage and support. Maybe you acknowledge a special day, a birthday, an anniversary. Maybe somebody passed a test. Do you know what? Do you know how compassionate it is to acknowledge and say something during those times? Gift cards, acknowledgement. Rejoice with them. Cry with them. I mean, compassion, you know, in the Gospels, all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, not so much in John, but over and over and over, there were stories where Jesus had compassion. And sometimes he had compassion and he didn't do anything other than sometimes he prayed for them. Sometimes he healed them. Sometimes he fed them. And sometimes he just wept. But rejoice with them. Cry with them. Acknowledge. Give without expectation. Sometimes this is a hard one. But don't let it be. Just give. Just give. One of my favorite sayings is this: people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I would rather people know that I care than that I know. Care for people. Be compassionate. Be kind. Because we have a God who cares, and we are the image bearers of that same compassion towards others. Why? Because we were made in His image. Because He has always tried to set up a people, a nation, Christ followers, who will be the hands and feet of who Jesus was. Lamentations 3 says this: the faithful love of the Lord, it never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness, and His mercies begin afresh each morning. See that? I love that. And for me, that's kind of how I am. Well, tomorrow will be better. But it's the same way with God. His mercies are new every morning. Well, I used them all up yesterday. No, you didn't. They're new today. The Lord is merciful and compassionate. He's slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. We read part of that earlier. But he's merciful. He's compassionate. Does he get angry? Yep. But is he loving and kind and compassionate too? Yep. He's everything. And he loves us. And this is what we'll close with. A couple of verses. Jesus said this, you must be compassionate. Are those my words? Those are Jesus' words. You must be compassionate. And this is where the kicker is. Here comes the image bearer part. Because just as your Father is compassionate. Because our Heavenly Father loves us, sent His Son to die for us. He is compassionate and He loves us. And Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. If we have been forgiven, we should be the most compassionate people that there are. I have been forgiven much. I need to show compassion. We as Christ followers need to show compassion. Let's stand. I want to be more and more like Jesus. I want you to be more and more like Jesus. And you know, compassion isn't just a spiritual gift that a few people get. It's a gift that we're all supposed to have. And so as we become more and more like Christ, let's become more compassionate. Let's give the benefit of the doubt. Let's encourage one another, help one another. And maybe you're here today and it's been a long time since you and Jesus have had a conversation. We can do that this morning. We'll do that as we close. And maybe there's things that you need to say, Father, I'm sorry for. We'll do that too. And maybe you need to say, God, help me with my compassion. Let me see with your eyes. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're grateful today that you are here, that your Holy Spirit is present, and that you care about every person that is in this building today, because you are a God of compassion. And your heart is that every person in this room would know you as Lord and Savior. And so this morning, Father, we come before you and we say, forgive me, Father, for my sins. Help me to understand how much you love me. Help me to understand and ask your forgiveness for the things that I'm doing in my life that are not godly. Father, I acknowledge myself as a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we become followers, as we become Christ followers, I ask that you would encourage us in the way of compassion. God, we know that you got our heart. We know that your word is important. Now we ask that you would build compassion in us for one another and for the world. And God, we don't have to be like the world. In fact, we can be the complete opposite. We can be compassionate and caring and loving. And so I pray that each person in here today would just ask you to help them to be more compassionate. Shape our passions for what you care about. Shape our hearts for what is on your heart. And Lord, may we be mindful to be watchful for those moments that you want us to bless someone. We thank you and give you glory for being with us today, for your presence here today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.